Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. I'm Mike Hoss. Bobby Hebert is at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, and it is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. And Coach Rizzi, unfortunately, your first loss in three games, and we got plenty of time to talk about it. The news of the day, unfortunately, is the Taysom Hill news, and that's just tough to digest for anyone, but for what he gives on the field, off the field, in the locker room, just about everywhere, I would imagine.
Yeah, all the way around. Mike, Bobby, thanks for having me on. Listen, it's a it's a tough day for sure, because really I just feel bad for Taysom, the person. You know, there's that human element to it that sometimes we forget, and the relationship that Taysom's built with not only myself, but the entire locker room, coaching staff, community. It's a sad day, and it's a day that, you know, a little bit tough to get through, but just like Taysom would want us all to do, we got to move forward and move on and try to figure out a way to win this week.
You know, Coach Rizzi, when you look at it, I think it goes hand in hand. That I don't know why, but it seems like through the years we've been way more successful as a third down offense, and has not been the case this year. You got to be in the 40-some percent. We're only 5 of 15, 33% not converting, and I think that goes about when you're trying to finish games. So you look at third down offense, and now we've lost, what, 4 or 5 games decided by one score this season, and look, we're 5 of 15, like I said, on third down, and it's all about finishing. How do you address the team in that regard? Because there's a fine line, you know, that's a cliche, but whether you're executing or not, but you're looking at finishing a game, whether you're going into the fourth quarter, a one-score game, or a fourth-minute offense, you can go on and on, or even just controlling the tempo on third down. Just elaborate on all what I just told you about that.
Yeah, you know, Bobby, I think there's a few things. number one, is we can't have 15 third downs in a game. That's number one. I think we had 15, and the Rams had nine. And so we got to do a better job of staying out of third down, which obviously means we got to do a better job on first and second. So that's number one. Number two, I think coming into the game, I think we were like middle of the pack, 14th or 15th in the league on third downs. It's really been a little bit of a tale of two halves for us. You know, we've been pretty successful, I think top 10 in the league in third down first half, and then, you know, you flip the script second half. That's where we got to be better, particularly coming out of halftime is where we got to be better. We've got to do a much better job on the first couple series of the third quarter. That's really where we've stalled, first couple series coming out of halftime. Listen, I thought we did a tremendous job in the first quarter yesterday. We had the ball for 13 minutes, I think, in 50-something seconds, and they ran three plays in the first quarter. That's kind of how we wanted to play the game, but then they kind of flipped the script on us in the second and third quarter. And so it's really just the consistency part of it. I look at it as we got to do a better job in the second half converting third downs and finishing games overall, because we have had some moments that are good. But obviously, you know, we had those two plays at the end of the game. We have a third and four and then a fourth and two that we don't convert. And, you know, therein lies the game. We had a chance to go ahead and take, you know, either tie or take the lead, and we were unable to do that. So, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. It's got to be better. It's got to be more consistent.
So, Coach Rizzi, in another area, and I was telling the fans during the post game, what are you doing in the red zone, both offensively and defensively? And, you know, you want to be a top 10 team in that category. You look at red zone touchdown percentage. We were number 7 in the league, right at 62%. And then red zone defense, we were number 6. Now, look at the Rams. They're very talented. But that's the difference. I was talking with Deuce about this. They were 3-3, 100% in the red zone, and we were 0-2. And the score is only 21-14. So what do you do in the red zone? Goal to goal, they were 100%. You look at all that. But that usually hasn't been the case. Like I said, how we've been amongst the best in the NFL with red zone offense and defense, but not the case against the Rams yesterday.
No, Bobby, you're right. And that's an area we have been very good at. Again, like you said, top third of the league on both sides of the ball. I think one thing when you look at is, you look back to the game yesterday in the first half, you know, we were in the scoring zone three different times. I know some people define the red zone a million different ways. So the bottom line is we were in the scoring zone three times in the first half, and we had 6 points to show for it. So, you know, we really had some opportunities there to take a 2 or 3 score lead in the first half, and we didn't do so. And that's where, you know, it could have been a different ball game coming out for the second half. You know, defensively, that's been one of our strong suits. You know, we've allowed teams maybe to move the ball a little bit, but we've kind of stood our ground in the red zone. Again, yesterday in the first half, you know, I want to commend our defense on one hand, because the Rams hadn't been shut out on offense in the first half in 129 straight games. And so that part was outstanding, but we didn't finish the job. We came out, you know, second half, and they scored on three, you know, of their four possessions. So it just, again, matter of playing a complete game. We had some really good things, but again, when teams get down there, we got to make them kick field goals. And when we get down there, we got to score touchdowns. It's just the way it is.
Coach, running the ball, the Rams, they only ran it 19 yards in the fourth quarter, but prior to that, they were averaging 6.1 yards a carry. Kyren Williams, 6.6. Kind of the inability to really kind of shut that down. It was consistent. Again, they didn't run it much in the fourth quarter, but really, you know, as we say every week, you know, you run the ball, man, you can dictate a lot to the opposing defense.
Yeah, like again, look what we did early on in the game on offense. We were doing just the same, and we were controlling that first half of the game. And then, like I said, they kind of, you know, flipped the script on us a little bit second, third quarter, and we're able to establish the running game. We got to be a little bit better there in the middle of our defense. I think that's something where we got to improve. It's something that's gotten better, but I think I mentioned this to you guys last week or the week prior is, you know, one of the areas we got to be better at is first down run defense. You know, we're up there in the bottom part of the league in that particular category. and that allows teams to get in second and mediums, third and shorts, and that's where we want to get teams in third and long. You know, when we got the Rams in some third and longs yesterday early on, they weren't successful. We got the ball back, and that's why we kind of dictated the tempo early on. So, yeah, listen, I agree with you, Mike. It's an area that's been a concern, an area of concern all year. I think there's been times like the Browns game where we've played a little bit more consistently there, but not so much yesterday. We got to get back on track in that area.
Now, Coach Rizzi, I was going to say this to Coach Galliano, but I guess I'm going to ask both of y'all, what the hell happened with our kickoff coverage? I mean, I always say we win all the time on special teams, but not so much against Whittington. I don't know if I've ever witnessed this, when you and Coach Galliano, and I know that probably was a thorn in your side. They had three returns, Whittington for 100 yards, 33.5-yard average, a 43-long gain. Was it just maybe not everybody doing their job, or just the discipline and what's your responsibility? How you break that down? Because that has never happened to us. I mean, I've watched a bunch of Saints games since you've been on board, and I was like, oh, when you're trying to hit in yardage and flip the field, that was not good, our kickoff coverage.
Yeah, Bobby, particularly the last one. I mean, listen, I'm gonna start by saying we're number one in the NFL still in that category. Opponent average drive start, we're number one. So that's the good news. We've been really consistent there all year. I think we've had 45 kickoff returns against us, and only two of them have crossed the 40-yard line. So that's the good news. The bad news is one of them was yesterday. On the first play of the game, their first return of the game, one of our guys got tackled at the point of attack, and he was going to make the tackle. So that, you know, they got called back. I'm not going to put too much stock into that one. But the last one, where we tied the game at 14, we had two guys with a couple of misfits on the kickoff, you know, losing leverage and kind of out of position. And we missed a tackle at the point of attack, which we haven't done, like you said, all year. That's been a strength for us. Hopefully it'll continue to be a strength. The good news is it didn't hurt us too bad, but I agree with you. It didn't look like we normally look, that's for sure.
Need to take a break here. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, along with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Coach, on the final play, you had a first and 10 on the final drive at the Rams 16, then three runs by Alvin. Alvin, by the way, 57th career game of 100-plus, tying the likes of Franco Harris. But on that fourth down play, who was Carr's kind of primary target? If you're looking at the kind of the still, you can see that Juwan's guy had fallen down. I'm wondering who the primary was, and what was the plan after the touchdown, irrespective? Go for two or one?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of things to talk about there. So, you know, during that drive, you know, we had two timeouts to go in the game, and there's a couple of different ways to play it. If we call our timeouts and then, you know, we fail to score at all and the game gets under 2 minutes, and the game's over, because they could just take a knee and the game's over. So trying to hold on to their timeouts, and then, you know, we made a decision that we were all in on going for the touchdown. And quite frankly, I think I mentioned this after the game, we were going to go for two, because, you know, the feeling there was they had scored on three of their four possessions in the second half. They had moved the ball very well. I just didn't feel like at that point we were holding up very well. Honey Badger got injured, and anyway, I just, you know, that's the decision that we made. And so with that being all in on that, you know, now you have to understand that we're trying to get the time down and not leave them with a lot of time when we do score and go for two. So that's the thought process there, and hold on to the timeouts. Second thing is, you know, you mentioned, you know, we had a third and four and then into a fourth and two. We ran the ball third and four, got to the fourth and two. You know, Derek, you know, the play that was run, I think, you know, if you look, go back and watch the play, Derek's looking to see if MVS Scantling is open there for the first down, which would have been, you know, not in the end zone, just over the sticks, though, would have been a first down. They kind of took that first option away. So he holds the ball a little bit, waits for Juwan to get open. Juwan is open. His guy falls down. And again, we're just a half second too late getting the ball out. But, you know, feel pretty confident and comfortable that if he can get the ball out there, we're going to score, and then we're going to go for two with about a minute to go and go for the win. So that was the way we played the game out.
You know, Coach Rizzi, the game was unusual because you would think, now, you don't want to turn over the ball, but you want to be able to take it away. But there were zero turnovers, no interceptions, no fumbles. And like I said, going forward, when Washington is going to come to town, and we got to play at Green Bay. Normally, we've been on the plus side in that turnover margin and turnover differential. We were plus two, but the Rams were plus three. And so that's going to be significant. I look at the Eagles game when we fell short. Boy, we had three takeaways. But we had a great opportunity to win that game. But I just thought we got to be more opportunistic as far as taking the football away, and we haven't done that the last couple of games.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob. I think it's a good news, bad news scenario. The good news is, you know, we came out of that game not turning the ball over and not allowing any sacks. If I'm not mistaken, we've only allowed one sack in the last three games. You guys could fact check me on that one. And then we didn't turn the ball over. So that's the good news. The bad news is we didn't take it away, like you said. Now, we did have a fourth down stop, much like the week before. We had two fourth down stops. You know, obviously it's a turnover on downs, doesn't go as a takeaway, but then obviously they stopped us on fourth down there at the end of the game. So, agreed, we got to be more opportunistic. That's something we did well in the beginning of the year. We had a bunch of interceptions. We haven't been as opportunistic lately there. And then again, on the flip side, on our side, offensive side, we did do a good job of taking care of the ball. And all those factors, as I told the team this morning when we met, all those factors are the reason that we gave ourselves a chance to win. Now, there's plenty of things we got to get corrected. We've already talked about a few of them. But the bottom line is, in a lot of aspects, we played that game the way we wanted to, and we gave ourselves a chance to win at the end.
You know, Coach Rizzi, I'm looking at when, and Hoss had mentioned this earlier. I mean, I don't know. It seems like we still can't stop the run. Maybe we got to be more stout in the middle. But we were giving up 5 yards a pop, average per carry coming into the game. We gave up 5.4, so I look at that, it's 5.5. And the reason why I bring this up, we're going to face the New York Giants on the road. And I look at in the regular season so far, first downs per rush. The Giants are right there with us as far as being top 10. So I think the Giants now look, you know, quarterback change and all that. With Drew Lock, looks like they're going to go with him. He can make plays with his feet. But I think the Giants have to feel like, until we stop them, that, you know what, I think we can run the ball against the Saints.
Yeah, listen, I'll say this. I've worked with Brian Daboll. Him and I are good friends. Brian's a great coach and a great man. And no matter where he's been, they've been able to run the football. And that's kind of been one of his calling cards, regardless of the record of the team. They've always had a good run game. They got a really good running back there in Tracy. Although they, you know, I know their record isn't what they want it to be up there right now, but that's something that they're going to commit to. And you know, again, if you're playing us right now and you're looking at us statistically, I agree. You're gonna say we're gonna make these guys have to stop the run, and we're gonna make them, you know, prove it. You know, we're gonna do it until they prove they can stop it. So. Yeah, listen, I agree with all of that, and there's no question that we got to go up there, and we're going to have to control the line of scrimmage on both sides. You know, we're going to be obviously on the road. The weather's going to be a little different than we're used to. We're going to be in visiting crowd, all those things. And so, as we all know, that's going to be really important for us on both sides of the ball for sure.
Got to take another break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network, our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Coach, as we wrap up tonight, your segment, this final segment, talk about the offensive line, the ability to maybe get Lucas Patrick, Eric McCoy, and, you know, the window at least opens for Kendre Miller and Bub Means.
Yeah, exactly what you said, Mike. So right now we're on track to get Eric McCoy back and Lucas Patrick back. Those guys are both trending in the right direction. They're kind of through the rehab process. It looks like at least we'll get those guys back on the field in some way, shape, or form on Wednesday, which is certainly good news. We have a chance maybe this week to take the they could feel with our starting five offensive linemen. That's would be a positive. We'll kind of see how the week plays out there from an injury standpoint, but at least there's a going into the week, it's looking like a bright spot. You mentioned Kendre Miller. Listen, I'm excited to get Kendre going. We're going to open up his window. We'll see what he looks like here in practice this week and make a decision at the end of the week. But I know he's kind of chomping at the bit. It's been a very frustrating year for him and us in that regard with a couple of injuries. But, listen, there's no doubt that Kendre is a talented guy. We just got to get him back and see what he looks like. Same thing with Bub. A little bit of a frustrating year for Bub, too, fighting a couple different injuries. But looks like we'll be able to maybe start his 21-day window this week as well. So a couple of guys that haven't been out there for us, a couple bodies that could certainly help the cause for sure.
You know, Coach Rizzi, I'm glad you brought it up, but I'm going to bring it up again. That's what fans come up to me, okay, Taysom Hill, the warrior that he is, and not being available, obviously, with the knee injury. And they asked me, like, I got the answer. What the hell Kendre Miller's going to do? I said, I don't know. He needs to help out Alvin Kamara. I mean, Kamara's doing his job. You need to have a 1-2 punch. I'm glad you said that he's chomping at the bit and wanted to get things done. You could comment maybe a little more on that. But, to me, who's been impressive, taking advantage of opportunity, Ugo Amadi. He led the team with 9 total tackles. He's only one had a pass, defended 8 unassisted. So here's a guy considering, where he was drafted and all that, and what you're asking him to do. I think Ugo Amadi, say next man up, that he's been somebody overall that's competing and fighting, and that's all you can ask for as a coach.
Bob, I'll start with Ugo. I agree with you. Ugo, is a guy that started the year on the practice squad and was probably frustrated and all that stuff. And all he's done is gone out there these last few weeks and just he's fighting. He's working. He's competing. He's showing passion, showing great effort. And listen, he hasn't been perfect. He's missed a couple tackles here or there and just like everybody else. But I think he's really played consistently. And we really haven't skipped a beat there, and that's a credit to Ugo, and good for him, and I'm glad to see him out there flying around making some plays. Listen, I'll go back to Kendre. We all know the player that Kendre Miller can be. We all know the player that we drafted, and we've all seen glimpses of that. It's been frustrating for him. It's been frustrating for the fans. It's been frustrating for the coaches, frustrating for everybody. And he'd be the first one to tell you that, and that's probably why he's chomping at the bit. He probably wants to prove that he's the same guy that we drafted and what we expected out of him. So let's see how this week's go, one step at a time. But I can tell you this, it's not going to be for a lack of effort. Kendre's going to be out there working his tail off, and again, there's no one doubting what he can bring from an ability standpoint when he's healthy and when he's rolling.
Coach Rizzi, looking at right now in the NFC South and, woulda, coulda, shoulda and all that, Atlanta's not taking care of business. And now you find yourselves 2 games behind with 5 games to play. Now the Falcons on the tiebreaker. Now you're going to finish the season at Tampa. We've always had success against the Bucs on the road. But what approach do you take? Okay, we don't need to look at necessarily the big picture in the postseason. Do you just challenge the players just be a pro? If you want to be a pro and it's your livelihood, look in the mirror and, okay, what are you going to do this Sunday come in New York against the Giants? Is that the kind of approach that you challenge them with? Because sometimes it's like, okay, well, what's going to happen? What are we doing down the road? No, what are you going to do come Sunday against the Giants? Because that's what you can control. And just be a pro. If you want this to be a lifestyle and you don't got to get a real job, well, you got to prove it on the field that this could be your life, an NFL lifestyle.
Well, Bobby, I'll just bring you to the team meeting on Wednesday. That sounded perfect to me. I listen, I think you guys probably figured out by now that I'm an accountability guy, and that's kind of the way I roll. It's really the only way I know how. And so, yes, everything you just said, I'm gonna double down on. This is professional football. We expect the guys to show up and have a professional attitude, and we expect them to show up with and be accountable every day. And listen, that hasn't been an issue. And I think the reason that hasn't been an issue is we have fantastic veterans on this team. And just to name a few, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Alvin Kamara, Derek Carr, guys like that, you know, Honey Badger, Eric McCoy, just, again, guys that are kind of popping into my brain as we go here, Foster Moreau. These guys have been the ultimate professionals. And so, yes, I agree. There is a big picture aspect to it, but none of that big picture matters if we do not take care of the Giants and go 1-0 this week. None of that's going to matter. So the focus is on the Giants going up to the great state of New Jersey and handling our business on the road. And that's the focus moving forward. And you guys know I'm a big 111th guy, and that 111th doing your part, doing your job, showing up every day, showing to work with a hard hat, an attitude, some passion, and let's go get it.
Well, Coach, every game's a playoff game. You treat it like that until somebody tells you it isn't, and you're not involved anymore. So good luck. Get that win up in East Rutherford. Weather shouldn't be too bad, like in the 40s, and so we appreciate your time. And, again, good luck this week.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, if anything with a 4 in front of it up there is a balmy day in December, so we'll take it. No doubt, Mike. And then, Bobby, appreciate you guys as always.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, we will talk with Saints Assistant Special Teams Coach Phil Galliano, Bobby Hebert, Mike Koss, coming back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth with the Stink of Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink of Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, and now let's go behind the scenes with this week's Saints assistant coach, brought to you by Rouse's Market Shop. Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints, and Phil Galliano, the assistant special teams coach, joins us. Coach, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. I wanted to ask you how your role has changed, you know, with Coach Rizzi as a special teams coordinator becoming the head coach. And I know it's kind of a – he's, you know, a try, and you know, three people kind of doing the assistant, you know, head coaching. Just tell me about how your role has changed.
Yeah, you know, I guess my role has changed. I've just kind of taken on some of the daily duties as far as film breakdown, putting the plans together, and you know, getting the meetings and that sort of thing for our players. You know, obviously Riz is still involved a bunch, and we collaborate on it together, but I'm just trying to do as much as I can to take some of that stuff off of his plate to allow him to be able to do some of his other duties that he has.
Now, Coach Galliano, boy, it seems like JT Gray, he just picks up where he left off. If you look at it right now, not only a Pro Bowl, but all pro level, when he has like 11 unassisted tackles, 9 assisted tackles, that's a lot of tackles also coming up with a block. What you could say about JT Gray and the professionalism, because he always shows up on that special team stat sheet as far as tackles or assisted tackles.
Bobby, you're not kidding. He sure does. You know, I think those are the things that you see, right? You see the tackles, you see the block punt. Some of the other things you don't get to see is his blocking is phenomenal. You know, like when we're on punt return and he has to, he's going to block one of their gunners, they're going to double. I mean, there's so many clips of him just getting his hands on guys and eliminating them from being able to get down the field. Or, you know, every week on kickoff return, he's usually going to be assigned to have to block their best cover player. So those are the things that don't show up in the stat sheet that he does exceptionally well. You know, and he's just an ultimate pro. I think he's the best special teams player there is in the game right now. He comes to work every single day, and he understands his role. He embraces it, and he works to get better at it. And he studies film in a different way, and he's trying to teach, you know, some of the younger guys and other special teams players about their approach. You know, every Saturday morning, he runs the special teams meeting that he runs just with the special teams guys on the four core phases, and, you know, goes through the last tips and reminders and what they need to do. And so he's just an ultimate pro. He accepts his role, and he's phenomenal at it, and we love having him here.
Now, Coach Galliano, look at seems like we've always had this linebacker figure and a leader. Looking at Craig Robinson, North Texas State. I want to say, what was his name? Dotto from Michigan State. And then he had hurt
Andrew
his knee.
Dowell, yep.
Yeah, Andrew Dowell. Yeah, it seems like that Anthony Argy's been this guy. You know what caught my attention? I see he's right at like 14 special teams tackled. Now, he didn't have any against the Rams, but overall, you look through the season, that Bill Belichick was commenting on, like, who could be not only, like, Pro Bowl, but, like, All-Pro, and he mentioned JT Gray, but he also caught everyone's attention when he mentioned Anthony Argy as far as being that special on special teams. That caught my attention because it's Bill Belichick. I mean, just comment on how far he's come. Now, obviously, he wants to contribute on defense, but even maybe not the highest level you would like in that perspective, but it seems like he's been trustworthy on special teams.
He sure has, and, you know, and he's done a really good job for us this year when getting his opportunity. It started in the preseason, and, you know, he just has taken advantage of every opportunity he can. And like you said, he's showing up on the kickoff team, making tackles, you know, on punt. Not only making some tackles, but in his punt protection and making sure we're staying clean. And he's another guy that he's understood exactly what his role is. And like you said, I'm sure he wants to have a bigger role on defense. And that's one of the things that, you know, that all these guys want to be able to do. They want to maybe have a bigger role on offense or on defense, but in the current state that we're at, they need to embrace the role that they have. That doesn't mean they need to just be satisfied with that role. They can keep striving for other things, but embrace the role you have and go be the best you can at it. And he's, you know, definitely understood that, and he's done a really good job for us.
Coach, you had number one back there with Taysom returning kicks, and I don't think I've ever seen anybody visibly that upset about not touching the ball on any of the kickoffs, which were all touchbacks. Alante Taylor, he did it at Irvine, and he just – he loved it at Irvine. I mean, you could see he was lobbying to get a chance to get back there and return kicks. Just, I guess, the thought process behind it and just the guy that can make things happen.
Yeah, he sure can. You know, when you see his frustration by not getting the ball, that's just the type of player he is. He's such a competitor in everything that he does. And, you know, he's fast and explosive. And he's been working on that and continued to get better. And we think he's a guy that gives us an opportunity, you know, throughout the rest of this season, that if we're going to get some balls that are put in play against us, that, you know, he has the ability to take it to the house every time he touches it. So we're excited for him. We'll keep working and keep working him in there, and hopefully we'll get some opportunities.
Now, Coach Galliano, I asked Coach Rizzi this, but I'm going to repeat it with you because I say we always win on special teams. I look wherever our coverage units, our return units, in all phases. And then not so much because we were number one in the NFL. You look at opponents' starting position on a kick return. But what the hell happened? I mean, you give them the business in the meeting? I mean, because I know, you know, that's unacceptable. Three returns by Whittington, 100 yards at 43 long gain and 33.5-yard average. I was kind of shocked at that because that never has happened. What I've witnessed when y'all been there with the, versus the Saints and y'all units.
Yeah, well, I think what you said, you know, part of doing business, right? We're number one in the NFL, and this drive started at the 27.5-yard line when we kick off. And I look at that game. The one that bothers us the most is the last one where they got out to the 44-yard line. You know, we had a misfit, we had a missed tackle. And that's not our standard, and our guys know what the standard is, and that one wasn't good enough for us. Sometimes staff can lie to you, Bobby. You know that. So when you say the three returns for 100 yards, well, the first one of the game, there was a penalty. So really, they started at the 26-yard line. We had another one. We tackled them before the half. They started at the 20-yard line, and then we hit the one touchback that was, you know, like a foot deep in the end zone, and I was hoping they were going to bring it out, and they didn't. And then we gave up that 44-yarder. So when it all averages out, you know, you're still looking at, you know, they started the ball at the 26, they started at the 20, and then they started at the 44 on the three returns. that we had against us. So, but you are correct. For our standards, that's unacceptable. We'll get that fixed, and don't count on having that happen again.
Coach, just kind of curious as we kind of look at Matthew Hayball. So he's had 50 punts, 29 inside the 20. I'm just kind of wondering, I mean, with punters now, we I don't know, is the ball, where's the bar now? Just talk to me about, you know, he's, I think 29 is roughly second in the NFL for inside the 20. Is it inside the 10 now? I mean, just give me how things have kind of changed for where we and how we grade punters.
Yeah, I think that that's a good question, and it's a little bit challenging, right? Because, you know, inside the 20 is what you, they keep the stats of, and you're right. He has 29 of them. He's second in the NFL in there. And so ultimately we'd like it to be inside the 10. You know, when we're hitting those punts, when we're around midfield, we want to pin our opponent back, and we want to try to, you know, either make them fair catch the ball inside the 10-yard line or give our guys, if they choose not to catch it, our guys the opportunity to be able to down it inside that 10-yard line. But some of that's just a hand he's dealt, right? He doesn't get to pick and choose where he has to punt the ball from. And so we want to make sure, like I said, the last thing you really want when you're punting it there is you don't want them to hit it into the end zone or not give us a chance and let them get it on the 20. We want to really try to do a great job and try to pin those guys inside the 10, maybe say the 8-yard line. But I think he's done a very good job of that. I know he wishes he had the punt back on Sunday, the one that checked up on him the wrong way. You know, I think it hit around the 14-yard line and then wound up rolling towards us and going out of bounds at the 18-yard line. You know, he would have liked that probably another 5 yards deeper. But he had a couple other balls that his net was good on. And, you know, we forced a fair catch with JT on the one. And then JT and Rico Payton, you know, combined on that one tackle right there for 0 return yards, which was an excellent job by those guys. But I think Matt's, you know, it's his first year, right? And he's figuring it out. And there's a learning curve for those guys, and I think he's really doing a good job at handling it well, and I'm excited to see how he finishes out this season for us.
You know, Coach Kelly, I was going to ask you this because I'm going to use this for future reference. You know, like, you know, some people tell me, oh, look at the gross punting. No, you got to look at the net. It's all about coverage. What is the net punting average? So when you look across the league, what is, like, a good net punting average? Like, it was 42.7. The Rams were 38.7. So far, is it like 42, 43 yards that that's winning football if you're in that number? Now, ultimately, you want the net to always be higher. But would that be a good average if your net was consistently throughout the season, let's say 42.5, 43, somewhere around there?
It would, Bobby. I think if you get to in that 42.5, 43-yard range, you're going to be top 10 in the NFL in net punting. So I agree with you there. That's extremely important. The gross number, you know, really it can be irrelevant, right? Because you can go hit the ball 70 yards down the field in a line drive and then let their returner, you know, go return that thing for 30 yards, and now your net's at 40, and you're giving yourself the opportunity for big plays against you. So we want to do a good job. We want to be able to eliminate the return yards. I think we've done a fairly good job of that this year. I think we're seventh right now in the NFL in punt return yards allowed. And, you know, obviously you always want to be number one, and there's a couple reasons we could be a little better, a couple missed tackles here or there, or maybe not the greatest location that you wanted on the punt. But if we can get them to 43 yards and be where we're at in the return yards allowed, we'll like and we'll be in the top 10 in the NFL in the net average.
Well, Coach, best of luck. Continued success. 5 games left. Make the best out of it. Get the first one with New York on Sunday. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good night.
That's Saints Assistant Special Teams Coach Phil Galliano. Say good night to Bobby. Bobby, as always, I enjoyed it, my friend.
All right, Hoss. Yeah, I'm going to ask him next time how we related, because my mom was a Galliano.
Yeah, well, all right. Save that for next time. Thank you, Bobby. We'll come back. We'll talk with Mike Dettelier as we go back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. But you're listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on Saints Radio. And now it is time to have a Bud Light with Mike Dettelier. Drink Bud Light, the official beer of the Saints. And we'll start with Monday night, 3-8 Cleveland and Denver, 7-5. Denver, man, it's just a weird season for them. I mean, they start off 0-2, and then they have to go play 2-0 Tampa, and they drill Tampa that started a 3-game win streak. And right now they're in the seventh spot in the AFC. If they win tonight, they'd have a 76% chance of making the playoffs. So thanks, I hate to say it, but thanks in large part to the NFC South, you know, Sean's got things working.
Swept that one.
Yep.
So that's one thing in his corner. And, you know, he knows a lot about Jameis Winston, you know, as a player. That Broncos defense, it's sort of a no-name defense other than Patrick Surtain. You know, most people would have a difficult time giving you a couple, three names off of there. But, man, they play fast. They play hard. And what a great job Vance Joseph. You know, Louisiana product. I saw him when he was a quarterback in high school, and he had a tremendous college career. And was a head coach for a little while. Didn't work out, but Mike, I'm telling you, he's going to get another chance. That defense is really playing well, and it's really kind of held their team up together until we saw the curve with Bo Nix. And now they got it kind of humming on the offensive side, too.
Let's move on to next week's opponent, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing. First in service, the Giants in a seven-game losing streak. They'll be on this mini-bye. They played on Thanksgiving against Dallas. Now, you and Bobby talked about Drew Lock. I'd read an article earlier that Daboll had not named, at least officially, a starter. So I think that says a lot in and of itself that you're in week 14 and you haven't decided on Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito yet for the Saints on Sunday. And maybe they have.
That might be a flip of the coin, kind of how it goes with that. The one significant deal is that Dexter Lawrence, who I think is their best football player, he will not play the rest of the year with that dislocated elbow. Mike, and watching him, he was a terror inside, not only against the run, but it was his ability to put pressure on the quarterback, get sacks. And for a big man, Pete Jenkins told me this. He worked with Dexter, I think, 3 years. And he said, Mike, I've never worked with a guy that big that's that athletic. And, okay, Pete Jenkins is 84 years old. He's worked with, I think, 14 NFL Hall of Famers. Of 50 All-Americans. And to say that about Dexter Lawrence, that's a big compliment. He won't be there. And, you know, they got to try to rely on the running game. The Purdue running back's been okay. He's got a tendency to want to fumble the ball. They're going to try to feed it to Malik. He's their one guy on the offensive side, the football, you can kind of count on. Now, what he's been is similar to Kyron Lacy. I told this to Kyron in the summer, you're good for at least one drop at LSU. He'd always get on me about it. But now Malik has kind of gotten into that trend, too, that he'll drop a pass or two in a game. But is he talented? Good gracious, he can play some football. And he's going to be a star player one day in this league. They can never find him a quarterback. And their offensive line, ever since they lost Thomas at left tackle, has never been the same. It's really fallen apart since.
So they also put Theo Johnson, their tight end, on IR, along with Dexter Lawrence. So two of the spots in the AFC are done. So, you know, Buffalo and KC are in. Nothing in the NFC. Somebody's got to win the NFC West and the NFC South. I don't know how it's going to shake out. Somebody's got to win. As you kind of look at the South, you watch Atlanta lose yesterday, their third straight. You watch Carolina, who's playing good football, just gift one to Tampa Bay. There's five games left. I mean, where do you see this thing finishing?
Mike, before the season, I picked Tampa. I thought they had the most talent, and they've won it all these years. And so to beat a man, you got to beat the man. And after they had all those injuries to the receivers and everything, I wondered if I hadn't thrown my saddle on a bad horse. But watching them now, they got as good a chance as anybody. I get to work with Greg Cosell from NFL Films, and he made a line a couple weeks ago about, Mike, nobody's really technically out of the NFC South, and I'd include the Carolina Panthers. And he made it as a joke, but I think he's absolutely right that really, the way you look at it, it's some crazy stuff going on. Atlanta's not played well in their wheelhouse, and that should be on the offensive side of football. You see Tampa, man, Baker, man, he's a tough guy, can make plays. They won it yesterday with the running game. Carolina had a difficult time stopping the running game. But, man, I got to give Bryce Young, Dave Canales, a lot of credit. That could have easily went down the drain quickly. And they have been very competitive the last few weeks. You can see they don't have quite the talent that they would need to be a division champ. But, man, they play hard. You know what, Mike? They may be a spoiler for somebody.
Yeah.
They may be the team that beats somebody that keeps them out.
No, I would think so. The problem with Atlanta, and really with everybody on the team, is that they own all the tiebreakers. Their division record is good. They swept Tampa. So nobody, you can't tie Atlanta, right? And I would agree with you about Carolina. Now, look at Carolina's schedule. So, I mean, the schedule makers are they are. But you got to remember, don't look at their records now. This is who they were playing after their bye week in week 11. They get Kansas City, Tampa Bay, at Philly, Dallas, Arizona, at Tampa, at Atlanta. Man, that's unkind.
Yeah, and you look at Atlanta's schedule, and people say, well, the Saints got an easy schedule down the stretch. Well, Atlanta, you know, their schedule is almost similar.
Well, they both play, both teams play the two teams that are out in the NFC, the Giants in Las Vegas and the AFC. Those two teams are out, and both the Saints and Atlanta play both teams in the Final Five.
So, you know, I don't know about Atlanta. Mike, I never have a good kind of race on the pulse on that team. It's almost like it's a little bit haphazard.
You can't.
And they're going to roll with Kirk Cousins. A lot of people, they're going to go with Penix. No, they're going to roll with Kirk with this to the end. Now, what happens next year, I don't know.
Right.
But they're going to roll this with Kirk Cousins. They have not been very productive on the offensive side of the football past couple weeks.
I just say what I say about Atlanta. I go, Atlanta, just be Atlanta. That usually takes care of everything.
Normally, Mike, that looks as though they're following that trend again.
That's right. All right, my friend. Mike
Dettelier,
thank you, as well as Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long in the booth. The Saints will be in New York, then it's home against Washington. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network, and we'll look for you next week as well.